Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Well, I've been speaking for a while on the subject of the power of death and the victory that's in Christ Jesus. Among things we have learned is that we have seen that the Bible says, for example, in the book of Colossians, that Jesus, that is God in Christ Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And the Bible says that in him we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. And why he had to explain the fact that we have forgiveness of sins is that, I said before, Satan uses the power of sin, all right, to get victory, to get dominion over people. That Satan in himself doesn't have the kind of power that people think he has. And especially for those who are believers in Christ Jesus, the power that he has is that power of temptation. It's when he has tempted somebody and the person has fallen for his temptation that he gets the power of death over the person. And don't ever forget that, because when Jesus was on the earth and Satan saw that he couldn't do anything to him, when his birth was announced, he tried to kill him, he couldn't get a hand on him. And as he was growing up, he tried many things and he couldn't lay his hands upon this young son of God. And that at the point in time, the Bible gives us a summary of the experiences that Jesus had to cope with. And that's what we call the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan came to him and told him, turn these stones to bread, bow to me, jump and show the kind of person that you are, take vain glory for yourself. But in all of these things, Jesus never fell for the temptations of Satan. And at a point in time, he said that the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. That is, because he has brought temptations my way and I have refused to fall for his temptations, therefore he doesn't have any power over me. And he was even able to give power to his disciples, because he said to them, I was beholding, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Therefore I gave unto you power, alright? The ability to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is, because you are going in my name, because you are going in my power. You understand that? I am above him. I saw him fall. And I'm declaring to children of God again that as far as you are concerned, Satan has fallen. He doesn't have any power over you again. The Bible says that you have redemption. That's what the blood of Jesus has given to you. And we have established all these things. Therefore, we do not make Satan our primary assignment in life, especially when it comes to our prayer life. No, we focus more on the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, and we focus more on our relationship with God. We fine-tune our relationship with God every day in our manner of walking. For example, talking about this relationship thing, I said before that since we can't see God, it is the people around that you see. So you see how you relate with people, how you relate with your work, how you relate with your husband, your wife, your boss, your employees, your neighbors. These are the things that you keep fine-tuning using the power of the Word of God. That is, you allow God to transform you into that image of Christ Jesus. And the more you are in tune with the image of Christ, the more the victory that you have over the power of death is demonstrated in life. And that's a matter of fact. And when we talk about the power of death, remember that it's not just that somebody fell down and died, that death is a force which can be injected into virtually anything in life, and it makes that thing malfunction and takes away the ability of productivity from that thing. So that if death were to enter into somebody's body, then sickness is the result of death. You understand that point? So we're talking about the power of death. We're talking about the power of the enemy to afflict people. When people want to make progress in life and they're unable to make that progress, it is because the power of death, all right, is working in their career. It's because the power of death is hindering them from moving forward in life. And I'm saying again, listen, if you have faith in Christ Jesus, you should not fear that power of death, because as far as you are concerned, all authority has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore you have the ability to go forth in his name and conquer. You have the ability to go forth in his name and become victorious. And listen to this, that is what Christianity is. So if you're out there, you are listening to me, and you think that Christianity is just about going to church on Sunday, I'm saying it to you again. You need indeed to give your life to Christ. You need to repent of your sins. That is how you are delivered from the power of death. He said, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. That is the way by which you are delivered from the kingdom of darkness and you are transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where Satan doesn't have power over you, where witches don't have power over you, where occultic men don't have power over you, where the things you are afraid of don't have power over you, is by being delivered from the power of sin. Are you getting my point? And once you walk before God and you perfect your walk with Him, then you discover that Satan is absolutely powerless as far as you are concerned. Are you getting my point? I know last time I began to explain something, and I want to continue to develop that today. And that's talking about how we, who have been delivered from the power of death, can now take our hands and give power again to Satan over us. And a lot of us, inadvertently in life, that's what we do. We don't realize that that's what we are doing, but we do that a lot. We take our own power, because you see, God gives you something, it's your responsibility to keep it. When He put Adam in the Garden of Eden, He said to him, guard it and keep it. And once God has given you dominion, it's your responsibility to guard your dominion and to keep it. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Therefore, a lot of us not realizing that we are slack with our dominion. We handle it sloppily. And oftentimes what we do is to hand power to Satan again. Alright, over our lives, and it will now appear as if what God said concerning us, that we have been delivered, is not true. But the fact is that it is true. You have been delivered. You are free in Christ Jesus. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you are not a failure. You may have failed in the past, but you will yet succeed. Are you getting my point? Please, what I want to discuss today, like I said, is one of those ways by which we hand power over to Satan and allow him to exert the power of death over us, even though otherwise he would not have legitimately had that ability. And to begin that discussion, I want to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 91. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. The Bible says, as a consequence, He says, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, and He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. 1,000 may lose their jobs, and 10,000 get fired from their positions. 1,000 may become sick, and 10,000 become seriously afflicted. 1,000 may have all the troubles in life, and 10,000 don't know what is going wrong with them. Are you getting my point? He said, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Now notice this verse 9. He said, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Therefore, listen to this. No evil shall befall you. I would like you to say amen as I say that. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling place. This is the reason, verse 11. For God shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, if you notice all of these things, well, how did this start? He said, because you started it like this. You said of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. What I want to discuss today is that issue of what you say. Are you getting my point? Let me explain something to you. In fact, maybe I should title my message this evening, Excuses for Satan. Because you see, I said, and then we have already established that if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, Satan doesn't have power over you. But this is what people do a lot of times. And that's why we have read this portion of the scriptures concerning what we say. You will see here that even though God wants to help people, or that even though God has delivered His children from destruction, but for them to have experience of what God has done for them, God needs to hear what they are saying. Are you getting the point? Here He said, I will say of the Lord. Let me say something to you. Every time you go about in life, you are tempted yet again. Every time life demands statements from you. Please listen to this very carefully. All the affairs of life, they demand statements from you. Every day, demand is being made of you to say something. Please, we need to understand it very well. When you are going on the road and your car breaks down, what's happening is that the spirit realm, the spirits, they are listening for what you are going to say. If your wife miscarried, as an example, what you are going to say is what is being listened to. Now, listen to what I'm saying. If you lose your job, what are you going to say if you're a believer in Christ Jesus? Now, please follow what I'm going to explain. That is, every time you have experiences in life, what is being watched out for is what you say. And I can prove that from the scriptures. You will remember that there was a time that Satan appeared before the judgment throne of God, and discussions came up concerning the life of Job. And then when they were going to talk, listen to this. The summary of it is that we are going to test him. We are going to try him. We are going to take everything that he has. We are going to take his wealth, his children, break up even his family. We are going to watch out for what Job will say. That is, what Job will say was all that we're looking out for. Are you getting my point? You will see that the Bible makes it very clear to us that in all these things, Job did not sin with his mouth, neither did he blame God. Are you getting my point? And that you'll find the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 22. And when we're talking about Job sinning, you'll see that it's what he will say that we're talking about. If you read the book of Job, chapter 2, read down verse 10, towards the end of that, the Bible says again, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. All that was happening, all of these things, was that Satan, even God, the angels, the devils, they were listening out for what Job would say. What I'm saying is that when things happen to you in life, it's what you will say that matters most. Because like I said in that book, By Faith Acquire Life, I explained that, you see, every time in life we are being tried, we are on trial. Every aspect of our life is on trial before the judgment seat of God. And what we'll experience is the judgment of God in that area. Your business is on trial. Are you getting my point? Your health is on trial. Your marriage is on trial. Your relationships, they're on trial. The health of your children, the life of your children, your career, all those things, each one is on trial. And when we say trial now, that is evidence, all right? Petitions are being made, all right, concerning you about these matters. Are you following me? Petitions are being made concerning you. Defense is being given concerning you. That is, there is what the Bible calls our adversary, the accuser of the brethren. He is there before God and trying to explain why you should not succeed. He is trying to explain to God why you should not make progress. And in fact, the people, no, that's why I told you about the power of Satan. That doesn't have real power in himself. The people that you call witches, alright, actually what they do is to join in accusation against you before the throne of God. But the Bible says that if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you have an advocate with the Father. Every time something negative is being spoken about you before the judgment throne of God, he rises up and says something positive about you. For example, if they say that there is a curse upon your family, he says that this young man, this young woman has believed in me and I shed my blood and I have erased that curse as far as his life or her life is concerned. So what happens is that God weighs this evidence. That's why you see here that the Bible says that God is judge. If you go and read Psalm 75, because literally he does the work of a judge. At the end of the day, is a verdict that he gives. Now, this is the point I'm making. Of all the evidences that have been given against and in your favor, the most important one is what you say with your mouth. If you rise up and say, I can never do well in this country, that is it. You have supported Satan. And that is what I call excuses for Satan. I'll discuss that one further now. Now, you see, so when you have said something against yourself before the judgment throne of God, then God doesn't have a choice, because the most powerful word, all right, concerning your life is the one that comes forth from your mouth. And how good will it be if you will say exactly what Jesus is speaking concerning you? That's why I talked about how to triumph by the blood, because Jesus is always speaking. The blood of Jesus is always speaking. He said, we have come to the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood is speaking. And the people that triumph, the Bible says that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If the word of your testimony matches and agrees with what the blood of the Lamb is speaking, then victory and triumph is yours. Are you getting my point? Then victory is yours. Then God will pass his judgment, because the blood of Jesus has power. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, but what do a lot of people do? You discover that they start giving evidence against themselves, not knowing that what we are watching out for is what they will say with their mouth. They don't realize that the things in life actually have ears. Listen to me. Your business, it has ears. Your life has ears. When Jesus walked up to a tree, he spoke to the tree and the tree heard him. Listen. Your health has ears. Your legs have ears. Oh, no, it's interesting. Your arms have ears. Your brain, I don't mean the ear in your ears. I mean there is a way by which you communicate with them spiritually. And when you are saying things that are not in agreement with God, you are giving Satan power over you. That's what I'm trying to explain. I said, life makes demand of you all the time to say something. You wake up in the morning, you find a rash on your body. What God is saying, what will you say? You wake up in the morning, you touch your child, the child is febrile. What are you going to say? You wake up in the morning and suddenly get a message that there's trouble in the office. Maybe you own a business, you hear that thieves burgled your office overnight and they've made away with goods and materials worth millions of naira. What are you going to say? If you wake up in the morning, you touch your child, find that the child is hot, febrile, has become ill over the night. What are you going to say? Are you going to say, oh my God, I'm in trouble? Or you will say, victory is mine in the name of Jesus. That I'm a winner and I'm not a loser. That Jesus has delivered me and he has saved all my household. Listen, it's what you will say that's been listened out for. A lot of times we think that our mouths were given to us to comment on the issues of life.
No, our mouths were given by God to us to direct the direction of life. Are you getting my point? The Bible says that the tongue is like a rudder or a steering, that a great ship, as big as it is turned whichever way the driver wants by that steering, that your life is like that. It's what you say that determines the direction of your life. Please, follow what I'm going to explain. So here we say, it said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How will he do that? He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. So if I wake up in the morning and I touch the body of my child, I don't say, hey, these witches have gotten me. No, they haven't gotten me. I will say of the Lord, is my healer and the healer of my child. Are you getting my point? If I heard the news, say, oh, thieves burgled your office and they made away with your goods worth millions of naira, what will I say? I will say of the Lord, that even though the fig tree will not blossom, say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That's what I will say. I will not say, oh, they have killed me and they know that I'm owing. No, 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 nobody can kill me. Don't say they have killed you. If you say, my life is hid with Christ in God. Are you getting my point? You will remember that Job lost material things, and when he said the right things, everything that he lost was restored to him double. You will lift up your voice and give the Lord thanks. You say, I'm a victorious man, I'm a triumphant man, I'm a wealthy man, I'm a successful man. That this setback cannot turn me back towards poverty, but I'm going forward towards victory and prosperity. And then you will laugh at the devil. Listen to me. Everything you are saying is going to have an effect. If you get and say, oh, I'm in trouble, I don't know what is wrong with this country. One cannot even do business. Oh, I'm in trouble. Go and read the book of Numbers chapter 14. As you say in his ears, God said, that's what he will do to you. What am I referring to? Go and read that story. The nation of Israel came out of captivity by a mighty hand. These people have seen God demonstrate something that was powerful. Things that nations around heard of and they were afraid. Listen, they have shed the blood of the Lamb. It had bought them victory. It's like the shedding of Christ's blood that has given us the redemption of our sins. Yet these people had victory. God was on their side. God said, I will fight against your enemies for you. Are you getting my point? The glory of God was with them. Yet they saw problems in the land. When they went out to go and spy the land at Kadesh Barnea, the spies arrived and said, no, we can't take the land. We cannot. Joshua and Caleb said, we can't take the land. Listen to this. With all this power that was behind them, they saw a challenge, and what they said was what killed them. Are you getting my point? Listen, the fact that you see something, you know, people say that people of faith, they're just denying the obvious. Listen to me. I'm not denying the obvious. I'm saying that I'm seeing something beyond that which is physical. It's not if I'm denying the obvious. Because Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we also saw giants in the land. But we are saying that if our God is with us, their defenses have departed away from them, and we can take the land. The people thought Joshua and Caleb were just being stupid. They are just being ridiculous. They are just denying the obvious. They thought they were the ones that were speaking things that are true. But God came down and responded. He said, listen to these people. They have conspired against me. He said to Moses, he said, as they have said in my ears, so I will do to them. They said, we will die in this wilderness. He said, therefore, they shall die in the wilderness. Listen to me. Those people did not die because the giants were dangerous. They died because of what they said when they saw the giants. And you get what I'm trying to say? That is how the wilderness gathered power over them. It was because they said to the wilderness, we will die under your influence. And God said, fine, you will die inside this wilderness. I always say it, that the Israelites did not die in the wilderness because the wilderness was dangerous. They died because of all the Bible calls in the book of Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, unbelief. They died for their unbelief. What do we mean by unbelief? When they saw challenges, what did they say? Psalm 91, we read just now. He said, what they should have said is, I will say of the Lord, Psalm 91 said, he is my refuge. They should have said, I will say of the Lord, he is my victory. He is the one that has called me out of Egypt and is taking me into the promised land. Therefore, I will overcome. And then the arm of the Lord will have been strengthened in their case, and victory will have been their portion. Are you getting the point I'm making? The arm of the Lord will have been strengthened concerning them, and their enemies will have scattered as they are watching. But no, that was not what they did. They began to repeat that which was obvious. Yes, we have troubles. There are giants in the land. We are shot before the giants. The giants think that we are grasshoppers. Listen, even we understand the grasshopperliness of our lives. There's no way we can enter therein. And God said, no problem. As you have said, that's exactly what you are going to experience. I said that life is always making demands concerning what you will say. You leave school, you had hoped that you will get a good grade, but you left school and you made a third class. And therefore you begin to say, no bank will ever give me a job. No good company will ever give me a job. I know I'm in trouble. Things will never go well for me. As you are saying it, you are confirming the negative things that life wants you to have. That was what was initiated. Listen to me. That you're getting a third class was the initiation process for your poverty. Now, instead of you to fight against it, you now decided to confirm that which has been spoken against you. Life is speaking against you, and you are cooperating with it instead of you to speak what Jesus has said. You should have said that promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south, but that God is judge. He's the one that lifts up one and brings out another. You will declare that many people with first class will work for me. I am a victorious man. I am a prosperous man. He said, yes, I may have a third class today, but watch it in this life. I'm going to have a first class influence in this my life. He said, why? Because I am a believer in Christ Jesus. I am above only and I am not beneath. And I am not beneath. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I said this with our words. We give power to the devil when he doesn't have it. And he knows. I told you about temptation. He's trying to get you to talk. He's trying to get you to talk. Therefore, challenges come upon you in life every day. Self says something. That's what they are saying. And most people just say exactly what the challenges in life dictate. Instead of them to use the word of God to overcome the challenges in life. The Bible says, overcome evil with good. What do I mean? You use a good word to overcome the evil that life is trying to give to you. People haven't said so many negative things over their life. They now say, Satan is after me. The devil is after me. Somebody say, please pray against the witches in my life. Pray against the witches in my life. And the witches say, you have given us all the power that we need. No, we're not the one killing you. You are the one that killed yourself. We're just helping you to effect the destruction that you have initiated by the power of your words. Are you getting my point? They say, oh, you're in this country. You know nothing good ever comes out of this country. Better find your way abroad. And they say, I can never do good in this country. I can never do well. I can never do well. And as long as he keeps saying it, and Satan knows what he's doing, he goes to block every door that will have opened for you to travel abroad. And God won't open it anyway because he's not the one sending you. So in the place where you are, instead of having victory, what do you begin to experience? Defeat. Why? Because every day you are rehearsing the words. You are giving what I call excuses for Satan. Let me explain what I mean by that excuse for Satan again. If you go and read the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, a time came that God called Jeremiah. This is the interesting part. God does not make discoveries. He predetermines all the things that happen in life. Your life is not an accident before him. He didn't just discover that somebody like you had been born. He said, let us try and help this fellow. So let us try and help him in life and find him a purpose. No. But what is true concerning your life was what he said concerning Jeremiah. He said, before I formed in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. That was the plan of God for Jeremiah's life. And God has a specific plan for your life also. Are you getting the point I make? God has a specific plan for your life. Your life is not an accident. Oftentimes what you experience is life trying to tell you that God's plan for your life cannot come to pass. Because here God gave Jeremiah a commission, a great work. He appointed him a prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah began to say something. Please notice this. Jeremiah said in verse 6, he said, then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. Now, that is what I call the excuse for Satan. What do I mean by excuse for Satan? That is all the explanations you have for why you won't succeed in life. All the explanations you have for why you won't live long. All the explanations you have for why your marriage will not be better than that of your parents. All the explanations you have for why you may not have children. All the explanations you have for why your business will not grow are the things that are called excuses for Satan. And listen to me, they are always very reasonable. And in fact, if you settle down and discuss with people that know, they will tell you, in fact, you are right, you're a failure. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Many times I've read stories. I know great men, they say they don't believe in business analysts. They don't believe in those who do feasibility studies. He said because many times they have told them they couldn't do what they ended up doing correctly and doing effectively and doing successfully. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, when you start giving excuses why your life will not turn out how God has prophesied that it should turn out, you are giving excuses for Satan. You are giving power to Satan. Satan is saying, oh yes, he said it and therefore we are going to do it to him. Are you getting what I'm explaining? So Jeremiah said, I can't do all these things that God has said because I'm a youth. I'm too young and I do not know how to speak. But God said something, and this is what I'm teaching you again tonight. God looked at Jeremiah and said, do not say I am a youth. What was God saying? Stop repeating all the excuses you have for why you shouldn't do well. Alright, so you have left school, you had just a pass or a third class, and everybody has told you that this is why you will never get a great job, you should turn it around and say, this is why I realize I actually don't need a great job. That I'm going out there to go and create great jobs. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Now, I'm not saying you should sit down in your ignorance because, you see, I don't believe in saying that they gave me a third class. Whether they gave it to you or you earned it, but that is what is in your hands right now. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? If it is out of your ignorance, get up your loins and go and learn. I've told people several times, certificate is not the issue. It is what is inside your head. Are you getting my point? If you have a first class with an empty head, wonder how you got a first class. But if you have a third class and you come out and you are productive in life, people will eventually bow down to you. And those who have first classes, are you getting me, will end up working for the man with the third class. The other day, I was talking to a friend of mine. There was somebody who I knew in a bank. And I said, what happened? No, we're just discussing some issues. And I said, in this particular bank, there's a rule that has been written that some people who come out with HND cannot rise up beyond a particular level. And I laughed. I said, isn't it funny? Because I happen to know that the man who founded the bank, what he had was an HND. He didn't have a university degree. I said, now they have made a rule that those who do not have a university degree cannot rise beyond a particular level in the establishment. I said, very interesting. The founder of this establishment, what he founded the establishment with was an HND. He didn't have a university degree also. I'm not saying you'll be angry with him. No. I'm telling you the story so that you will rise up yourself and realize that, don't worry. One day I will set rules and first-class degree holders will be the ones working for me and begging for my job. And the man I'm talking about, he can make multi-millionaires by the flick of his finger. He can change the life of virtually any young person by giving the person a job. But when he started out in life, he too did not have the things that people are not asking for. And that's where you should get your lesson from. Stop repeating the excuses for Satan. Satan is telling you can't do well. Stop agreeing with him. Life is demanding that you make a statement. Stop agreeing with the negative side of it. Are you getting my point? What should you do? Like Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, he said, do not say I am you. Stop repeating your excuses. He said, this is what is going to happen. He said, everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. What do you say? When life says that you can't do well because you have a third class, say everything positive that you know. He said, that was then. This is now. That Pastor Banky and the Bible says that promotion does not come from the south. What is south? Where I come from? What degrees do I have? Who is my father? Which village did I come from? Who do I know? Which passport do I carry? He said, exaltation doesn't come like that. That if I walk in this life and I please God, I will become triumphant and I will become prosperous. I will become victorious. He said, no, these things cannot hold me back because I've been liberated in Christ Jesus. I'm indeed the head and not the tail. That Satan, you can't hold me back. Listen, doesn't mean challenges won't come on. Please, don't think Satan will give up easily. The Bible says that after he came out to tempt Jesus and Jesus did not fall for his temptation, the Bible says he departed from him for a while that I will try again. In fact, you know what the Lord helped me to understand? And most of us think that Jesus was just tempted those 3 times. And that was all. I said, no, that was a summary of all the temptations he had to face again and again in his life. What am I trying to explain? Don't think that life will just only give up and say, okay, this man has said the right things, we'll leave him alone. No, it will gear up again. So let us make him say the negative thing. And as long as you don't say that which the devil wants you to say, the devil can never get that mastery over you. I hope you've gotten my point. We'll continue this discussion next time.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.